from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You know, one of the things that I really have enjoyed by doing these podcasts with you, Diane, is actually learning about what things mean around town. And I feel like I have a really good grasp on Kansas City from just sitting here having these conversations with you and reading your work and, you know, having the relationship that we have over the years to learn all this stuff about Kansas City. And it's always cool when you start to read stuff and figure out, oh, that's why it's called that, or that's where that came from. And when you start to look at the streets in Kansas City, you start to think to yourself, there's a lot of numbers out there, but there's also a lot of names out there as well. And all of those names are pretty significant in some of the founders that founded Kansas City. And that's how they kind of got their name. And it was fun to kind of read and see Holmes and Troost and Vine Street even. And some of the streets you may not think are named after people are essentially all named after people who made Kansas City what it is today.
It is crazy to think that I think to know that there is significance behind a lot of them. I mean, there are some that you're kind of like, there's no significance. It's just Main Street.
Right.
You know, but like in general, there was a real thought process behind these streets and kind of what got on the chopping block through time. And that has a lot to do with the way the city grew. A lot of people ask me about that because they'll pull up like the original deeds. You know, you hear people like even in Brookside. You know, people, when they buy their house, are like, but my street's not called that anymore. Well, there's a reason, you know, and it has to do with the way the city kind of grew together, because I'm sure you can understand that if you I don't even want to know if you had the ability, Bob, to name streets because you owned a section of land in Kansas City, what would you name your streets? Because there'd be, I mean, obviously a Fesco Street and a Jen Street and a Bob Street. Because by the way, people would name one street their first name, one street their last name. And that's kind of how the original thought process was, paying homage to your kids and all of that. Sounds great. And some of that stood up over time. But a lot of it, you know, I always wonder, a lot of those streets didn't stand up over time because of the way the city grew. And it is fascinating. And obviously also because Kansas City, unlike a lot of cities, we could go through a list of places we've been that make absolutely no sense when you're driving around. Kansas City actually makes some freaking sense, you know, like it makes sense. From the river moving south, the streets get bigger. Right. But at one time, you know, we have very few streets that run east west that are that aren't the number. Some of them include, and you know them, Gregory. That's named after the first mayor who was ousted, William S. Gregory. And then you have like Meyer Boulevard. you have some of your boulevard system, which wasn't in control of the actual city naming process, and it went to the Parks Board that are obviously not named numbers. But you have, in general, the description of lands as you move south stuck to the numbered system. Bannister is another example, too, which is random.
And so, 95th. You know, even on the Kansas side, you have College Boulevard named for John R. College, the founder of higher education in America.
Mm-hmm. It's weird when you think about why names came about, because sometimes, and I would argue this all to the day I die, some names that got chopped off are some of the names we shouldn't have lost. Like, examples of that would be the founder of Kansas City, you know, John McCoy. He had a street named after him. Mm-hmm. And then as the city grew, he lost the street. And, you know, he's alive at the time, and he's probably like, eh, whatever. You know, he probably honestly didn't care. Kersey Coates, one of the early founders of the area, which was Quality Hill, which was like Kansas City's really millionaires area on the west side of town. He, you know, named all sorts of streets. They named Kersey Coates Drive after him, which was this beautiful thoroughfare destroyed because of I-35. So again, we lost a lot of pioneer names that we really should have held on to because of the way the city grew. And I think that's just fascinating. Like, Main Street wasn't in the original plan. That's a weird one for me, because I'm like, doesn't every town have a Main Street? And actually, then I learned St. Louis doesn't have Main Street. So, you know, not every town has a Main Street.
Well, that's a weird example, though, is St. Louis, is because their streets over there, there's really no rhyme or reason to why the streets are named what they are and uh-huh. whatnot. And then you move just a couple hours to the west in Kansas City, and it's obviously very flat. It's zero at the river all the way down to, you know, 199, 200th, whatever the heck we go to now when you're looking out south. But, you know, back when, you know, they put in I-35, I don't think we cared as much probably back then about history as we do now. And just for your recent years of keeping the Paseo and fighting that battle and standing up for that, and even people battling over the name Troost right now, like, you've got to keep some of this historical stuff in context so people understand. But you and I are a different breed, Diane. We care about that kind of stuff.
We're old today, souls.
Yeah, but people today, kids today, they really don't care about why that street is named what it is.
I think you're right to a degree. I think there is a segment of the population. This is something that I learned really quickly with the Paseo shenanigans, is that people care when it's in context of things that they care about. Mm-hmm. Like, if you grew up on Paseo, you cared about Paseo. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, and if you grew up, and I talked about this in the article I wrote about this topic, is, you know, like, my family, it was like my dad growing up, he'd be like, my house on McGee. If Kansas City went and renamed McGee, there'd be like a tirade of Houstons, I assure you, that would be freaking out. My grandmother grew up on Rockers Road, very small street that is one of the very few that kept its identity, and we can get into that. The house on Rockers Road has an identity. So when people grow up on a street, sometimes that connects them. And a lot of people, I get more emails and more contact about, hey, I want to know why my street's called this, than I get about probably anything, which is random.
Right.
You know, like, you don't care about the graveyard that's, you know, literally disappearing on the corner of your street, but let's talk about your street name. And that is because it's an identity thing. It's something you rattle off all the time, but you might not know the origins of the name. And so I get a lot of questions about streets, which I understand, because some of them, it's like, we have a Cherry Street, but we don't have a McCoy Street. To me, that doesn't make any damn sense. But what do I know? But again, I don't think we need to overcomplicate it. It's just, as the city grew, things just got changed, and the way that people cared, and I have to also remind the people cared only for mail system and delivery at the time. If there's a town of 700, right, mm-hmm. they're gonna find you, you know, and your address included not your street address, unlike big cities, of course, but like at the time it wouldn't even include your street address. It'd be your name, and it early would be Kansas, Missouri, because there was no Kansas, you mm-hmm. know?
Right.
So your post office was Kansas, Missouri. It's like, what? So obviously, as times changed, and especially in 1963, we had the zip code system. A lot of these things helped simplify things. But back in the early days, it was like, we needed street names to just tell people how to get places. It wasn't an identity like it is today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think it definitely is an identity. And no matter where you grow up, you always talk talk about that. I mean, my dad, my whole childhood, I know my dad's childhood address, 78 Hickson Drive, New Providence, New Jersey. Like that was always a thing. Oh, Hickson Drive, Hickson Drive. You heard about it, you know, all the time. And you know, maybe people still identify with the street that they grew up on and whatnot. But I love to find the names and the origins of these streets. Yeah. You know, you mentioned McGee and not having a street and whatnot. And that does seem a little ludicrous. And I mean, he McCoy. Was the guy, or McCoy, I'm sorry. I don't say McGee.
No, that's all right.
But I'm thinking of McGee because there is a McGee Street. I believe I've seen a McGee Street, but McCoy, like the man founded the town and he had a public house for a while and they changed that now too. So he don't even have a bar anymore that he can get going to. But those streets just aren't named random names. Even today, when you see new subdivisions go up, builders are naming the streets after their dog or their daughter or their mother whatnot. And that's how they come up with the names of those streets. Because if you live out south and you live out, just say, Rose Street for whatever. Why is it called that? Well, maybe the builder had a grandmother whose middle name was Rose.
And that stuff will stick. And here's the difference between, and I've talked to my brother about this a lot because my brother is like, he lives in Johnson County now, in Leawood. And we talked about the difference on the Kansas side versus the Missouri side was Missouri and Kansas City started annexing towns as they moved out. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kansas hasn't done that. Leawood stayed Leawood, Overland Park stayed Overland Park, Shawnee, Merriam, blah, 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 right? Everybody is separate, which means that it's a smaller portion of streets to name. Some of the names have stayed the same. People stay on the grid pattern, if you will, like from Kansas City side. Mm-hmm. They've stayed on the grid pattern for the most part, but like all those streets, like you said, it's almost kind of a gamble. They kind of keep them the same to a degree, like Fontana, some of those streets, Del Mar, you have some of those that have stayed pretty consistent. But like you're saying, like when you're developing a new subdivision, because especially in Kansas, they're smaller towns and municipalities, they can get away with that. But as Kansas City grew together, again, Martin City, think about Troost Avenue. It goes all the way to Martin City. Mm-hmm. It's all the way out to Martin City. And that wasn't the case. Nobody had that in the cards. And Troost is a great example too, because of course, there's the constant talk of renaming Truth or whatever, which is, I say it's Truth with a lisp. But when you look at Troost Avenue, the reason that that's such a hot button, of course, is because of racial segregation, and there's a lot of things that happen on that street. But it's a just so happened to be named after kind of thing, because what people don't realize, they talk about Troost had enslaved people. He did have enslaved people. He never lived on Troost Avenue. He never lived on that side of the city at all. But because the city founders found homage, wanted to pay homage to the first town doctor, they named a street after him. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes to like his street just happened to stay when others didn't. So Troost stays, McCoy goes. And a lot of it had to do with how big the plat was too. The further you got to the east side, the more likely you were to keep the names consistent, because the city originally sort of moved east, but then of course we know it pushed south.
Right.
So you were safer, if that makes sense. So the street naming, like it went east to a certain degree, about 30th, and the annexation in the 1930s and stuff like that of the city growing to the south, a lot of those names stayed the same, and there wasn't anything to the south yet. So they were like, we'll take those names too. Mm-hmm. So that's how that kind of happened. But when you got into proper Kansas City, downtown Kansas City, we are talking a shit show of names. Like, two block long street names, because people were platting 20 acre plats of land into little itty bitty, you know, this McCoy's addition, this addition, this Campbell's addition. And Campbell's a great example too, because John Campbell named streets after all his kids, right? He names kids, all of his kids. John Campbell's, they had street names for all of them, and only certain streets survive, Campbell being one of them, the main one, because it ran the right direction. His son William got the chopping block because his street ran east-west, so they replaced the name of that. And then his wife's name, Charlotte, kept. Mm-hmm. But most women's streets, and I don't know if men were, realized when they were doing it or what, most women's streets were actually east-west streets, so they all disappeared for the most part, which is just crazy to me. I mean, so when you look at Kansas City and you look at the original plat of Kansas City from 1838, the names that exist there are practically insignificant. The only one I could think of that stayed the same is Walnut, which is like, why'd they name it Walnut? Well, John McCoy saw there was it's a walnut grove right there on Walnut Street. So we named it Walnut. I mean, it's really simple.
Right.
But like a lot of the other names, like you kind of mentioned the McGee's, that was the first like addition to Kansas City, is the way to put it. So the original Platt, which was the town investors, and then McGee, who was, they're a fascinating family, and I'm really I'm friends with their descendants. Milt McGee was one of the sons of the original settler, which was James Hyatt McGee, who came to the area in 1828. That's super early for a white man from Kentucky, right? He comes and he's considered to be the first, you know, white man to bring slaves to Jackson County. I don't know if we can really consider that because the Choctaws also enslaved people. So whatever. But he buys up 320 acres of land. He ends up with 1,000 acres in what is the heart of, you know, T-Mobile Center, Power and Light. Like we're talking what we consider downtown today. That was the boonies back when Kansas City started.
That's
right?
Crazy. That's nothing. Yeah. That's nothing. That's not even far from the river, though, to think about that. That's like 13 blocks, you know.
But if he's buying this in 1828, and we got to remember, Bob, like in 1838, they're plotting Kansas City. It's a 200 and, you know, over 250 acres, but they only plot this little itty bitty patch on the riverfront, and they only plot it to 4th Street.
Yeah.
So think about it, like in a 4-block radius, 4x4. And it's plotted, which I always find fascinating. I always tell people to Google downtown and look at it. It's plotted to the river. It's slanted. The streets are slanted toward the river, not north-southbound like they are today. And that turn happens at Independence Avenue, or basically, which is 5th Street.
Yeah.
So when you look at that, it's kind of crazy. So that's the nest egg of Kansas City. And here's this guy in 1828, way out in the boonies. I mean, he is far out there. And so he buys up this land. It ends up with 1,000 acres. He dies. You know, they had enslaved labor. They have a cemetery on their land, which is like Southwest Boulevard today. I mean, it's crazy if you look at this. So when the family, each of the sons inherited land, they each kind of did their own thing with it. And Milt McGee, who was a mayor of Kansas City for a period of time, he was born in 1819. He took his portion of land with his friend Nehemiah Holmes, and they start doing a real estate deal together. And he takes this in 1857, when Kansas City has about 700 people, he takes this nest egg out in the middle of nowhere. It's a cornfield. I'm not kidding. It's literally a cornfield, and plots McGee's addition to the city of Kansas. They're like, addition, you're way out there. And he took a gamble. He built a row of blocks that became known as, you know, like the McGee's spot. I mean, essentially, he builds a group of blocks at 13th Street that are all brick buildings on Grand. By the way, he named Grand Avenue. So Grand Avenue was supposed to be this largest boulevard that was going to run through his new addition.
He wanted that essentially to be like the main street of Kansas City, right? I mean, that was the whole idea behind Grand Avenue, right?
It really was. And Grand Avenue was built to be twice as large. And it is today, if you look at it. It's massive. And that is the original, like, when you look at the Kansas City maps, that only ran from about 5 blocks in the middle of a cornfield. I'm not joking. In the middle of a cornfield, there's Grand Avenue in 1857. Like, what the hell was this guy? These people made fun of him. He's prospecting land. He names a street after Holmes. He names Holmes for his friend Nehemiah, who helps him plat the subdivision.
Which Nehemiah is only a couple of blocks just east of Grand at that point. It's still only a couple of blocks
east. It's not large.
Yeah, it's not at all. No, right. Not a far distance.
This area we're talking about includes Grand Avenue, what is today McGee Street, and then really if you talk fronting each side, and then Holmes. So you're kind of in that vicinity. And when you look at what he built there and all of his street names, he's like, Mobilian got a street, Milton got a street, Gertrude got a street, Catherine, Amelia, Eleanor, all named after his freaking family, all named after his family, Allen Street. And that stayed consistent. And what happened was Grand Avenue did become a thoroughfare, and what he did actually kind of worked. And he built a hotel. Got to remember Santa Fe Trail and all that stuff. So he builds a hotel. They're a pro-slavery, pro-Southern family. So during the border wars, they're very involved in the area. And so he gets enough of a piece to kind of construct to get people to come out to that area. So he builds and they came. You know, if you build it, they will come.
If you build it, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
right? I mean, seriously. Yeah. And so Grand Avenue became like this big deal. And so what happened was that the city started to move north from north to the south and actually merged in to that area. That, you know, they said, oh, we're going to get rid of those original street names that we had. And Grand Avenue was Market Street in downtown Kansas City. And they were like, well, let's call it Grand. So Grand Avenue became from that. Mm-hmm. And then you have streets like Broadway. Broadway is another one. And Broadway was named by Kersey Coates. And that's, of course, on the west side. And he wanted that to be, it was already kind of the thoroughfare beforehand, the dirt road, if you will, to lead Westport. And so it was like, you know, your original Santa Fe Trail route. And so they called, he called it Broadway. Penn Street, Pennsylvania, obviously they, Penn Street was an early abbreviation for Penn Street. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania was named after Kersey Coates because that was where he was born.
Yes. Yeah, born there, right?
But I mean, yeah. So I mean, he's like, well, I mean, he doesn't have a street, but he has, you know, Pennsylvania State. You know,
that's
what I
right.
mean?
Hey, whatever works.
But Central is another one. Central Street was the reason they named it Central in 1873 was it because it was literally the center of the town from the west to the east mm-hmm. at the time, which, of course, if you look at Central now, that ain't the center. You know, that's like way west.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, these street names are crazy. All of these different things that we lose because of the way that Kansas City, you know, grew. And, you know, like Market Street to Grand Avenue, that changed in 1872. But you have to remember, too, there's two things that happen. And I think this is important. Two things happened over time. And that's why 1872 seems to be the year these street names changed. Is we had exponential growth in Kansas City because of the Hannibal Bridge in 1869. So we have the railroad now. And that's going to be great. And then the other thing is grading of streets. So that those two things happening at the same time. So exponential growth. So more people mixed with the grading of the streets is what, because before it was like, well, my street has to end here because there's a massive hill in my way. Right.
Right.
And then they're like, well, we're going to get rid of the hill. And you're like, oh shit. Well, on the other side, that's, you know, Ross Street. And now I got to rename, you know, so it made sense. They were thinking ahead. And so that's why the grading in 1872, 73 names were changed and they wiped out a lot of family names at that time. And so like Emily Street was 6th Street. Gertrude Street was renamed 17th Street. Again, those women, they were East-West streets for some reason. I don't know how that happened, but it is just how it is.
Well, so, it just made sense to do all that, though. If you're growing a town, I mean, back to the kind of the St. Louis analogy, I mean, there are streets in St. Louis that change names like twice when you're on them. It goes from this to that to back to this, back to that. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah. I don't know where the hell I am anymore.
What happened? Why
does this keep changing names? And so instead of just sitting back and going, well, this is the way it was. I mean, Larry, let's
go. Well, we don't want to piss anybody off. Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. The hell with that. We're going to get organized. We're going to make everything streamlined. We're going to make everything easy for everybody to try to figure out where they're going. So halfway down Eleanor Street, it doesn't all of a sudden become Rachel Street and then go back to Eleanor Street. Now
and
all
then
of a
turn
sudden
into 18.
Emily Street. Now it's 18th Street. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally get it. And I was always really confused, like from visiting. And we were just recently talking about I'm going to start a GoFundMe for myself of all the places that I haven't been. Like, I need to go to Philly. I haven't been to Boston. It's really sad. Some of these places.
It really is. Like, as a historian, these are places that you need to be. I mean, my gosh.
I was so busy, you know, jumping over the pond to travel to Europe that I just skipped some places in the United States. But
yeah.
But like, you know, in New York City is, you know, I get real confused in New York City. I get confused in St. Louis. But in St. Louis,
how do you get confused in New York City? It's basically the same thing as Kansas City, except it's reversed. I mean north you have the you know the hundreds, and as the further south you go, it gets to zero, and then you go from east to west from, you know, First Avenue all the way over to like 11th, 20th.
Because I don't love the double combination of numbers.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Like
it
first
is
and
the
first
11th and Avenue and 10th. Yeah. Like, wait, what? You know what? Yeah. I mean, that's why I think I don't like it, especially in Kansas City. I know the boulevards and avenues are certain. Those are really specifically designated. And so the use of the word avenue or boulevard, I was just in the car with my sister-in-law, and she grew up in Idaho. They live in Denver with my brother now. And, you know, she was like, what's TFWY stand for when we were on the highway? That was traffic way.
Oh, traffic way. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I've never seen that before. So you kind of think like there are certain terminologies. And so like Boulevard in Kansas City means something completely different than St. Louis. Like, I don't know if anything, St. Louis is a whole different gamut. But, you know, when you look at kind of the way that the city grew again, some of the other streets that come up over time and people have asked about is, you know, if you've ever been, and it's that turn at Independence Avenue. And you know, when you notice it, and I highly encourage people to check this out. If you go down to the City Market, and you ride the streetcar south, you can feel the turn that I'm talking about, because, you know, they literally, like, the streetcar stays pretty straight and then it goes, it just veers, you know, to the west for a section. And this is the veer I'm talking about. Kansas City's grid system was built toward the rail, you know, the river, and then they switched it to be a north-south pattern. That's how, you know, old surveys were always done, because your transportation at the time, your biggest transportation was the water. So of course you're going to build it toward the water. So, but anyway, when it turns at Fifth Avenue, basically, and there was a conundrum at Fifth and Missouri Avenue. It's right where I-70 is today.
Right.
And there, what happened was, is when they turned the streets, there was going to be an intersection of two streets. And that's basically, you got Delaware and Maine that are like, they come really close together. And Delaware got its name, of course, from the Delaware Indians, and Wyandotte got its name from the Wyandotte Indians. And those weren't named until, by the way, 1847, just putting it out there, after they had been moved from, you know, their territories to Kansas, what is now Kansas. So in any case, this intersection was going to be weird no matter what, but it became even weirder because this guy named Thompson McDaniels bought up some like 45 acres and he had his farm there, and he built a really well-known hotel called the Union Hotel at 7th and Main. So the guy was obviously cool with like making money off of the growth of Kansas City, but he wasn't cool with like his land being lost over the growth of Kansas City. So they, city leaders went to him and said, hey, we need, this is, I'm talking about this is in the 1850s, 1860s. They go to this guy and they say, we need part of this because we need to turn Maine the way we need to turn it. So it actually kind of grows back in, and the bluffs have been cut and all this. And he's like, no, you better give me $100 for that. And the city's like, we can't afford that. I mean, the guy would have never gotten away with this today, because they'd be just like, and so we're going to condemn your land. Thanks.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
right. Eminent
we're
going to
take it from
ours.
You. Called eminent domain. Yeah. So anyway, he refuses to let them cut Maine through his farm. And so Maine had to curve slightly to the southwest in lieu of going straight. And that created an intersection at 9th Street, which was the Delaware and Maine coming together, which was called the Junction. And the Junction is a really famous from the old, you know, you see Vaughn's Diamond Building, which I believe we talked about before. It's a really iconic, it's like the New York City, the Times Square feel, if you will. It's like that whole, the connection of these two was also super dangerous with streetcars. But the connection was really, you know, secured there. But we lost that in the 1950s, because they, you know, paved I-70 over it.
Right.
But I mean, again, a lot of those things have, you know, that just happens when it comes to those things. I think 1956 was when they condemned and the junction was destroyed forever. Yeah, I mean, there's just lots of streets. There's another big change in 1920s and 1930s of street names, and that had to do with Kansas City, Kansas. So your side of the state stealing our name, that screwed everything up.
Yeah.
I know you're really surprised about that.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1923 and 1933, there was a big change because there were so many common streets between the two cities.
Right.
So, you know, like back in those old days, if you go to old postcards and stuff, people would put New York, and everybody's like, oh yeah, New York City, that's Philadelphia, that's Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Kansas City, you couldn't put that, like Missouri, Kansas. Well, there were so many common names between the two, because some of those names, you know, stay the same. There were so many common names between the two that they had to get rid and kind of merge some things. So 39 names in Kansas City were changed, Missouri, and Kansas changed 51. And the only name, I know, 50, I mean, just from
so
that.
It's a ton. I mean, could you imagine all of a sudden all these streets are changing? But again, it was the right thing to do, to get everybody on the same page, to not have the confusion. And maybe you lost some history, and maybe you lost some names and upset some people along the way. But for the future of the city, this is exactly what needed to be done.
True. And I think that
otherwise it's chaos.
It is chaos. And you can imagine today, because I mean, again, like I don't know if you've ever had your address messed up just because like I live on a numbered street and there's a terrace and there's a street. Well, if you miss it, how many times has my neighbor gotten my Amazon packages? Mm-hmm. And I'm like going up on their porch, waving at their next door camera and like stealing my packages from their front door. I mean, because there are some issues with naming. But when you look at the in 1933, 149 streets were renamed. To be clear, we're not talking about major thoroughfares. We're talking about like two block little, again, back to that whole, well, it's my land. I'm going to plat what I want and when I want. And one of the streets that survived then was the Rockers Road one. And I thought that it really stood out to me because this one was one of the only that survived. Rockers Road is a teeny tiny, it should be 52nd Street, mm-hmm. teeny tiny street right next to Rockers University. And they were able between Troost and Lydia, teeny tiny, two block radius, I think, should have been changed, but there was such a fuss about it that they were the protests that like people were, I mean, practically strapping themselves to street signs, you know, power to those people. Rockers Road survived. But when you get some of those street names that we think that are also named for people or trees and they find out they're not named for that. Holly is not named after a holly bush or some Christmas reference.
Right.
It's named after an actual guy, by the way, who, you know, just happened to be his name was, Holly Jarbo, David Mulholland was his middle name. And he, you know, was one of the founding families of Kansas City, the Jarbo. There's a Jarbo Street.
Right.
Yeah. But again, the name Holly was given to his family's addition to Kansas City and Holly survived. And everybody just assumes, well, it's named after the holly bush. It's a person. It's a person. Woodland Avenue is another interesting one that comes from, you know, just one of those things like where people name an area like, oh, that's in the woodland area.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, well, that sounds good. Let's write that one down. It just stays, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the other ones there, you know, like Bales is a family name. The one that I know you mentioned at the beginning of this was Vine Street. I think this is interesting.
This is a great story about Vine Street. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there were actually two Vine Streets. Original plat of Kansas City had a Vine Street. So if you look at old maps of like, Kansas City, Vine was further west than it is today. So that's just one thing. Mm-hmm. So the Vine we think of today, which is like 18th and Vine, right? That is not named after a plant. That is not named after a pesky vine growing in your backyard. It's actually named after a person named Vienna Salisbury Chase. And she was known as Vine to her friends and family. And the reason she got a street named after her is not because she was some beautiful, you know, teacher, librarian, or changed the world or whatever. It's because her brother was an early city assessor. And he's like, you know, he's out there assessing. He's like, well, we got to name this. Vine deserves a street name. And that's why it's named Vine. Is that not nuts?
I mean, one of the most popular famous streets in Kansas City was basically named on happenstance because her brother's like, yeah, we call you Vine, you get a street.
And again, I think it goes back to understanding that people, you know, they cared about giving a namesake to something, you know, and they cared about that stuff. But I wonder, you know, some of the streets, I think they got a little happenstance with because like, think about like out south, you have Blue Hills subdivision and out by me, you have Santa Fe Hills and Waldo neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they have streets like St. Andrew and, you know, and Blue Hills has streets named after golfers, Tam O'Shanter and things like that. The reason those have survived is because the streets are curved. So when you have curved streets, you kind of get away with it more because they're like, well, you don't quite fit on our grid pattern, so we'll let it stand. But when it comes to Kansas City, you know, we really tried to stay to the pattern. And think about Brookside. Brookside is still curved streets, but he really still stays on the same pattern. But it goes to show you that I think when these guys, these people, mostly men, were going to name these, you know, these street names, they really did want to pay homage to their family. But I think they got a little desperate. Like you could see like some of their street names in Westport, there was, you know, like Steptoe was named after, you know, an ex-general from the town. And I mean, it's like ridiculous how unconnected it is. But it's like what was important to you might not be important to other people. But now it's become an identity of Kansas City because you identify with that street because of whatever memory. Like you said, the house on McGee or the house on Rockers Road or, you know, back when I lived on Lydia, you know, that kind of thing. So its streets are more than a sign. They're really an homage to our city's really unique history.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.